Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to another edition of Rural Routes, the program where we gather every day at this time. Well, we do it Monday through Friday anyway. And what we do when we gather is continue to address the issues between food producers and food consumers. I've got, you know, it's Thursday. Amanda Radke, she's in North Carolina. And I think I've just traded up. Amanda, who? We've got Reagan Long. We don't need no Amanda. We got Reagan Long coming to us. It just so happens to be from North Carolina. Author of the best-selling book and founder. Is the book called Real Deal of Parenting as well as organization?
No. So I've wrote multiple books, but I've had bestsellers. And then I founded the Real Deal of Parenting, which is a platform on all social media sites.
One that struggles to have access to people, much like I can relate to in the last 30 days.
Yes.
Let's just go back to your first book. What inspired you to write a book?
You know, I tell everybody, it just, me becoming a writer happened, it was totally haphazardly because it was just my children. And it started out, I had no following on Facebook whatsoever, but I would put up these like little bits and pieces from my day about my kids. You know, when I started, they would get one or two likes, that was it. But I really enjoyed doing it. I wasn't doing it for anybody else. I was doing it for myself and just so I'd have the memories there. And then, you know, it started to gain traction and, so my first book, I self-published and it was called 101 Moments of Motherhood. And so it was just 101 different stories that, you know, I put together from my childhood on and, you know, it did well. And then I got picked up by Hache, which is one of like the top three publishers, you know, globally. And then I did book number two and then I did book number three. And now I'm working on book number two was also about motherhood. Book number three was more like life inspiration. I was going through a separation. I was pregnant with my fifth baby. And now I'm working on children's books. So good stuff.
I'm glad you brought up the fifth. You have five children.
Yes. God's preparing me for sainthood.
Oh, I thought you were about to say God's preparing me for the sixth.
Well, you never know. Yeah. You never know.
Okay. But so somebody who does not have any children and authors a book on motherhood wouldn't fly so well. But if you've got five, I think you qualify.
I mean, people tell me I make them feel better about their life. I somewhat normalize things for them because I just really put it all out there. You know, everybody on social media like paints this facade of like everything is rainbows and butterflies. And I give those highlights too, but I like talk about a lot of the exhaustion and pain and how did I even survive this day? So I think people relate to that. People need more of that.
You know, you bring to light, we have three daughters. The oldest is 25, the youngest is 17. I'm not sure what God's preparing me for, raising three daughters and all of that estrogen in my house at one time, but they're now they're about gone. And I'm like, oh no, I don't think I like this at all.
Yeah.
But when they were young, I remember Kelly's greatest achievement is she just wanted to be able to take a shower.
Oh,
and,
Kelly.
And it's like, for a dude, it's like, go take a shower. But we can't relate to what it is, how I don't want to use the word taxing, but it's this constant something has to be done. And just to get I witnessed that. I witnessed her wanting to have that moment of her own peace of mind to just get in the shower and not have somebody saying,
I mean, here's the thing. My husband could be standing in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. My children could be out there and yet I will be in the shower and they will bring me like a pack of fruit snacks and be like, Mom, can you open these? I, as God is listening, I'm like, can you ask your father that you just were still? So Kelly, I get it. I get it. It's so true. There's no privacy. I don't know the last time I went to the bathroom alone. I showered alone. So true. But yeah. You know, like you're starting to get there. I know I'll miss these days because there's when I like complain and I say, I need an hour to myself. I need to get in the car and go somewhere, take the kids somewhere. Truly, it is an hour and I miss them already. It's like, bring them back to me. I'm ready. I'm refreshed. So it doesn't take much. Like literally when you're used to this, like 24/7, it's like an hour rejuvenates you. So I just need my 60 minutes sometimes.
And now we're at that stage where every event is the last event. So yes. There was the last volleyball game in high school. Oh, this week on Monday, the last one-act play. And Nebraska is a little unique, I'm finding out, that we have a one-act play season just like you have a volleyball or basketball season where you have kids compete in a 30-minute play. And our school happens to have a very rich tradition in one-act plays, and we're state runner-up. We have state competition, state runner-up four consecutive years. Our girls were a part of that. And now this week we have the last play. And it's like, I can see the drain, particularly in Kelly, every time there's a last event.
Yes. That's so bittersweet. And on the flip side, I've gone through that with my fifth. You know, he's three now, and we still refer to him as the baby. And it's like, oh my gosh, this is the last first, but now I've said this three times. My third baby, well, the second baby was supposed to be the last. My husband said he was done it too. We have a girl and a boy, the perfect, you know, the million-dollar family. And then a third came and then a fourth came. And God just kept laughing. But I'll tell you what, I would love another baby at some point. My husband has made it clear it will not be with him. He is done. He's like, it will not be with me.
He can't ration that a half a dozen would be just a nice round number.
I know, right? I mean, it's like if you have five, what's six? But I said that after three. Once you have three, which you know. But it's fun.
So the youngest is three. What's the oldest?
14. So I had four of them in 6 years. 14, 12, 10, 8. And then there was a little gap. And three.
You're not a farm girl. I want everybody to know that.
Oh, goodness.
But no. You're just like the ideal cow.
Well, I really am in many sense.
You have your perfect calving intervals taking place there with that little hiccup at the end. But this is like boom, boom, boom. That's what we all want our cows to do. Be on the perfect interval.
I am telling you, and not to go like give like TMI here. My midwife said you were the most. I've been doing this 40 years, and you were the most fertile woman I have ever met. So I can pray. I mean, against all odds. So I'm like, well, I'm going to take that as a compliment.
Yeah, actually, Reagan, that leads me into just so you know, I only have a minute. I don't have time to really. We have so many things today that are causing human fertility problems.
Oh, gosh.
And it seems like people can't wake up to say, wait a minute, I need to do something different. Because if you understand the human body, all living things, whether it be plants or animals, we have this natural instinct when there's a stressor in the environment, it pulls back on our reproduction just to protect ourselves. And so if you're having trouble with fertility, and I know people are having trouble with fertility, male and female, like never before, you need to figure out what's causing that. Of course, now we know that it's a jab that's caused most of it. But prior to the jab, we were still growing issues and people weren't looking at it.
Sure. And I mean, once we get back from the break, we can dive into that more. But it's a number of issues that I think the United States faces before the jab, faces even more so due to everything that we're putting in our food. But yeah, that's a giant rabbit hole that I think more and more people need to hop down
We're gonna hop in the rabbit hole when we get back with more Rural Route. Reagan Long coming to us from North Carolina, best-selling author and founder of the real deal of parenting, and maybe my Thursday co-host forever. We'll see. We're back with more after this. Protect the Harvest continues to live in the trenches, get you the information that you need to stand up for property rights, stand up for a free and fed America. That, at the end of the day, is what we're talking about with property rights, what we're talking about with food production. And folks, I would ask you to log onto the website for a couple of reasons. There's three really good reasons. One, you can look at related news. The vegan hypocrisy today posted up there on lab-grown meat. Another story about the Missouri farming rights, an amendment for a vote on August the 5th, that'd be next year. SeaWorld fights back, HSU has new resolution, and Missouri farmers rally to protect property rights. Here's the deal. You can't protect your property rights if you don't understand what's going on and what the attacks are. That's Protect the Harvest's job, to keep you free and fed. ProtectTheHarvest.com. Welcome back. Roll Route, Trent Lewis alongside Reagan Long. I happen to be in Bismarck. She's in North Carolina. We could be farther apart, but we're not alongside, that's for sure. Do you like cold weather?
No, I don't. And that's actually why I'm in North Carolina. I was a Pennsylvania girl, born and raised, and the winters just got way too harsh. And I like my warmth and sunshine. So I do not think I would fare well with you out there, at least in the winters. Maybe I can come visit.
I think the actual temperature right now is about 3 below.
Oh, my glory.
Yeah. What county in Pennsylvania? I love Pennsylvania.
Jefferson County, which I was born and raised in, Punxsutawney, which is Groundhog's Day.
Right.
Yes, Punxsyville.
We celebrate a rodent. Oh, by the way, that's coming up a couple months.
February 2nd. But, mm-hmm. You know, the movie, and almost everybody has seen Groundhog Day with Bill Murray. And the actual celebration is nothing like the movie. They make it out to be this like lovely small family hometown festival. And it's actually one big giant party, like a concert and fun and drinking. And
Reagan, if you're going to come on here and try to convince us that Hollywood doesn't share factual stories, then I just don't think you get any credibility to continue.
I mean, Trent, the media does not lie. Come on now. The media, Hollywood, they give it to you straight.
Yeah. Unless it's from Beck News.
Then, right. You know, yes. Cute.
All right. So now, instead of jumping in a rabbit hole, we're going to have to jump in a groundhog hole.
Okay. Yes.
This is bigger. We can go more.
Yes. There we go.
Fertility and what we're doing to our bodies, and we don't seem to recognize it. And I don't know if it's more of an issue with male or female. I don't know that. I just know that it's an issue. And we need to take a step back and say, what's really going on here? Because we're just fighting something internally within our body.
Yes. I mean, I feel like it was slowly, you know, becoming more evident over the last several years. But since this, you know, quote unquote pandemic started and the vaccines happened, it's, you know, as a mother, it's absolutely devastating to me. I just saw, and I don't want to say the number because I don't want to get it wrong, because when I share facts like that, I like them to be completely accurate. But the miscarriage rate as well, due to the vaccines, the pregnant women who got the jab, the miscarriage rate was so catastrophic in the last 18 months that we've never seen anything like it before. So again, people have to open their eyes and look at what they're ingesting into their bodies, whether it's what type of food they're putting in. Because even like, if, for instance, if you take a bag of Doritos, okay, from the United States and compare it to the ingredients in another country, we have 20 more ingredients in there than other countries.
Why is that?
Why? Because they love and care for us more here.
Oh, I'm glad I
Oh,
know.
Lord. It's absolutely wild. And, you know, myself, who I consider myself a foodie. I love food. I love good food. I love bad food. I love healthy food. I love junk food. I'm just being honest. My body in the last couple of years, and I'm an athlete. I've always been an athlete. My body has started to, and I'm only in my late 30s, so I know I'm getting there, but I know it's something bigger. It has started to shut down more, and I've had autoimmune issues. We're seeing that on the rise as well, Trent. Like autoimmune is just spiking. It's what we're putting into our bodies. We're not being conscientious.
So I got a quiz for you.
Oh boy.
When I joined you on your podcast, thank you for that opportunity, which it's been too long, so that's why it was
I
time to get you back here.
know. Yes.
I told you what kind of milk to get in that refrigerator. What's in there?
I promise you, right now, the red cap, whole milk, like with all the fat,
Awesome.
with all the fat. I don't drink it though. KJ.
Well, wait a
Oh
minute, Reagan. You know that if it's just in your refrigerator and you don't drink it, it doesn't do you any good, right?
But it does my 3-year-old good. I know.
All right,
I've got to get on that
so
bandwagon.
this week I've been on this path because we've had this screwed up dietary guideline information from the USDA dating back beyond 77, but it really started in 1977. And all you need to know about the human body is the human body is comprised of 16% protein, 16% fat, 1% carbohydrate. So if your body is comprised of that's the body makeup, wouldn't it make sense that your diet somewhat resembles what your body makeup is? And instead, we eat 16 or 20% carbohydrate, not enough protein, and certainly not enough fat, particularly the right fat.
Yes. And I think there's just so much misinformation out there, namely among our healthy experts, right? Who
Right.
are just, everybody wants a quick fix. And there's just so many fad diets, and there's so many, try this, do this, drink this shake, this magical, take, these magical pills, and you can eat anything else you want. And there's just the misinformation is just so great. And with everybody being on social media, it's just people are lost.
I will never forget this. This is a friend, and she fell prey to this nonsense that you're talking about. She picked me up at the San Jose airport one time in California. I was speaking in California, and we started talking about diet. And I've been on this quest to make sure that people understand the importance of animal protein and fat. It's documented. It's vital. It's not just good for you. It's vital. And she said, I know that's all good, but I've been doing these grass shakes. Grass, like grass from the lawn.
I couldn't do
And I said,
it.
why would you do that? Well, we as humans don't eat enough grass. Chimpanzees, they eat a lot of grass.
Oh
What
my.
part of being a chimpanzee do I want to be? Well, why would I want to achieve the cognition level of a chimpanzee that's still swinging from trees in the jungle?
Here's what it is. People are so impressionable, and the level of persuasion amongst those that have a voice on social media is it's just the balance is not there. And I have to admit, as I'm getting older, I'm getting wiser, and especially the last few years have really opened my eyes. But I mean, in my younger days, I guess I was a little more gullible, but it's like people are not using their brain that God gave them on
Right.
anything. I mean, it's just, and the fact that, and I don't want to jump, Trent, before you're ready, but not only the food, but, and I'm watching, is it's flu shot season and it's time to get your next. Am I allowed to say the V word or do I need to use the jab word? Am I allowed to say the V word on the radio?
There's seven words you can't say on the radio. And for the really? Most part, yeah. And for the most part, they're words that grandma wouldn't want you to say either. So yeah, I think you're okay.
I'm not used to this. All my platforms that I'm heavily censored on, I'm not allowed to use these.
Well, no. Interesting timing. Reagan starts talking about words we can and cannot say on the air. And she's gone. Just everything died. But here's the deal. We're at the perfect time to take a break. And we will come back and continue this discussion with the best-selling author. You know, I've written a book. I'm not a best-selling author. I need to get busy writing more books. That's the moral of the story. There's still people reading books, and that's going to continue to be a mode of communication, maybe more so than it has been, huh? Best-selling author and the founder of the Real Parenting, the Real Deal in Parenting. How about that? We'll be back with more Reagan Long after this. Before I let you go, I want to remind you when it comes to, you think about the celebration aspect of, hey, you want to grab a steak? How many people? Come on over. We'll cook a steak. Beef is a food that brings people together. I'm not going to go, I think I will. I'll just go so far as to say it is the bread of the community and the life, and it is bread and wine and community that brings people together in celebration. Certified Piedmontese creates an enjoyable, wonderful eating experience every time you take an attempt. That's because we focused on the Italian breed Piedmontese. Certified Piedmontese can give you an example if you just go to the website, certifiedpiedmontese.com. If you're a Great Plains cattleman and you'd like to be a part of the supply chain, check that out at lonecreekcattleco.com. It is all about upcycling grass into the most nutrient-dense food substance on the planet, beef. More after this. Welcome back, World Route, the program, best-selling author, Rachel Long, founder of The Real Deal of Parenting. How do people get your books?
They're all on Amazon. I always say that's the easiest place. Sometimes, you know, the more popular bookstores have them, but Amazon's the easiest.
I know that it's the easiest. I just hate promoting somebody that works against us all the time.
Yes. I know.
The silence is precious. I love it.
Oh my gosh.
So I want to go in a different direction for a moment. How hard in your mind is it today, or easy, to be a Christian publicly?
You know, for me personally, I love it and I just dig my heels in deeper. But I think for the average, because I've over the years, I've gotten so much hate against me because as my platform grew, you know, the more eyes that are on you. And I'm one of those polarizing figures that people love me or hate me. There's just people are just not like, I kind of like Reagan. I just don't like her at all, or I really like her. And so I've really developed thick skin over the years. And I think Christians everywhere, if they have not done that yet, you need to do that because it is a hard time to publicly stand firm in truth and God's word. And because we're truly seeing so many biblical things play out. We're living in times where when I advocate for life, people think I'm this monster. You know, what's good is looked at as evil. What's evil is looked at as good. And so for the average person, I think it's a really tough time to be a public proclaiming Christian.
I think a tough time to be a Christian makes you a better Christian.
Yes. Because I agree.
I'll just share my own personal experience. I've been a Christian as long as I've known there was a choice, right? I mean, I grew up that way. Just been there.
Yeah.
And for most of the 56 years, took that for granted. And now in the last 3 years, I see where, like where your food comes from, like where your electricity comes from, you can't take for granted your Christianity and your belief in Jesus Christ as your savior. You have to be witnessing for that, because now is the time when you need to expand the tribe. You need to bring the people home, right?
Yes.
And so it that tough time, and where people put pressure on, and you know what has really accelerated it? I know this is your bailiwick. You kind of alluded to it there, but what has really accelerated that is the abortion discussion that's taking place this year with the Supreme Court ruling and all the things that are happening that we don't hear about, which are to undermine life, yes. Period.
And, you know, so I always get the card, people come at me, you know, this is a political matter, separation of church and state. No, this isn't a political matter. This is a moral issue. I could go on this for hours, which, you know, but, you know, again, as a mother, what's heartbreaking for me, it's not the Satanists. It's not even the agnostic people who are pro-abortion. It is the Christian mothers and fathers. More so, there's an abundance of Christian, so-called Christian mothers who are pro-abortion. And I always say, I don't know what God you serve, but my God would never be okay with dismembering of one of his children. Life begins at conception. God makes zero mistakes. And then I always pose the question about how I was born. I was born into a very bad situation. I lived in poverty. I was physically and emotionally abused and passed around and went through things a child should never have to. But didn't my life matter? So many people would have been like, oh no, just, and people encouraged my mother to get an abortion. And I thank her every year on my birthday. Mom, thank you for choosing life. She made the hard decision. It would have been so much easier for my mother to get an abortion. And she and I faced so much hardship. I would never want my children to have to go through, but I am so grateful for the gift of life. I deserved that. Every child deserves that. And I just want to throw this out there too, because the other big, you know, backfire I get is, well, what about the cases of rape or, you know, incest? And I think those are unfathomable acts of such crime, and just, it's tragic. And those men should be punished to the absolute fullest extent. But too traumatic, another act of trauma does not take away the first one. And women who have undergone that first act of trauma, no matter what age they are, it's 80% or more higher that they're likely to undergo PTSD even further, experience so much more trauma with adding an abortion on top of that. Adoption is one of the most beautiful options. And there are just so many beautiful families around the country who are just waiting for a child. And so, and Trent, last little thing I want to squeeze in there about this. In the case of the mother's life being in jeopardy, there has never been one time in human history where a doctor still does not have to deliver the baby. Whether vaginally or via C-section, that baby must come out. You do not have to kill the baby in the process, ever. Not one time in human history. Now, if the baby is, if it is too early in the pregnancy and the baby still has to be delivered, then let the natural course take place. Safely deliver the baby and let God's timeline have its have its way, but never do you have to murder that precious baby in the process. And so this is just something I'm so convicted on. And especially with, since Roe's been overturned, I've received more hate in the last several months than I have in my entire life combined. And it's over advocating for life. And it's just, it is one of those hills that I publicly proclaim I am willing to die on.
It is tapped into a level of anger with people about killing a baby that I had no idea could exist.
Yeah.
And let me take it a step further, Reagan, because I am a capitalist, but I also see the evilness of too much affluence because, pretty much the first thing I learned in the Bible that it was like, how can that be? It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get to heaven. I was like, oh no, can't we be rich and get to heaven? But 100 years ago, the birth of a baby was a celebration by every single family because of the birth, a live birth. Let me qualify that, the live birth, because there was a high percentage, almost double digits, that didn't make it. And it was heartbreaking to the family. And today, if a baby doesn't make it, it's like it's newsworthy because it's just uncommon that you would have a problem. People have trouble having kids. Olivia was 12 hours of labor. I mean, there are problems, but everything worked out.
Right.
And now that we've got the childbirth thing kind of figured out, we're killing 41 million babies a year globally, almost a million each year in the United States,
right,
willfully. I mean, I can't even rationalize how you can take the life of something you created.
It's become a movement, this cultural movement of women empowerment. And that is not how you empower women. I'm raising three daughters. You're raising three daughters. I've told my girls, in a perfect world, of course, I'd love for them to, save themselves for marriage. But things happen. And I think as parents, we need to, I've told them, my older son, my youngest son's too young to have a conversation with, but not just an unexpected pregnancy, anything. Like, as parents, we need to tell our children, you know what? I have so much faith in you, but accidents are going to happen. You are going to get into trouble at some point. And there is nothing that we can't figure out together. And so, it's just mind boggling how we're trying to empower women or cover up mistakes. I've had several of my pregnancies, of my five pregnancies, that were unplanned and untimely. My last pregnancy was, I was going through one of the worst points of my life. And I questioned God many times, why he would do this. And that baby turned out to be, I can't imagine life without him. I don't want to get choked up. God knows better than we do. And he can take any bad situation and use it for his good. That's what he does.
Actually, that could be an entire book, the statement Rachel Long just gave us. Telling your kids on a regular basis, there's nothing we can't work out together.
Yes.
End of story. Have you told your kids that lately? We've got one more segment. We'll be back with more after this. Now let's talk about the Wall of Honor. Hey, last night I had the opportunity arriving in Bismarck. I went to the Elks, and they have one of the Wall of Honor monitors in the Elks Club. It was really interesting for me just to watch folks pay attention to the Wall of Honor as that scrolls through and brings to life the individuals that have sacrificed for your and my freedom. You just need to see it to understand how people respond and just sit there really captivated. And Brian Lyer from Lytton, he said, Trent, we've got two in Lytton, and I'm amazed at how they continually move. They don't just have the same stuff. The continual add new people. And that's why I say go to thewalloofhonor.org, submit your loved one, and we'll get them up there. Thewalloofhonor.org, and make a donation too. Welcome back. Roll Route, Trent Luce alongside. I'm going to author my own book. I'm going to steal a line from Regan Long telling kids there's nothing we can't work out together. I may put a little asterisk and a little footnote and say, I stole this from Regan Long, founder of the Real Deal of Parenting. Parenting is not easy.
No, gosh. It's exhausting. If you're doing it right, it's exhausting and is a lot. It's the hardest job in the world.
And the most rewarding.
And the most rewarding. Absolutely. Yeah.
Just wait till that wedding comes. That's an entire experience that I didn't anticipate as a father. The boys come. You have girls, the boys come, Regan. That's how it works.
No, and my girls, gosh, which I'm grateful for. They are all gorgeous, and boys are already circling like sharks.
I can't imagine how you would create a gorgeous daughter.
Oh my gosh.
This is crazy. Hard to figure out.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think back that there were times I was not a perfect teenager. My oldest being there, I'm like, oh my Lord, please Lord, just
what is a perfect teenager?
There is no such thing. But it's true. And this is, you know, and something that, and I actually, before we get into our last discussion, Trent, you know, something that has really been pulling on my heart is, you know, who's talking to our young girls, you know, our tweens, our teenage girls. You know who's talking to them? All the crazies on TikTok.
Yep.
Demi Lovato, Taylor Swift, all these who are for this cultural shift of everything that's not women empowerment that we want our good Christian girls to be. And so I've been really convicted to start speaking directly more towards young girls, because it's hard to grow up. It's hard to be in those formative years. And I think one of the best pieces of advice that I could give to young girls and myself is, and I know I did this. You give yourself more, sometimes more faith that, okay, if I get myself into this position, I'm still going to make good decisions. If I go to this party, I'm not going to be like, you know, tempted to do such things. And it's hard, and it's really hard. So I think, and this is even for adults, you know, temptation is everywhere. And when you get yourself into a situation, sometimes we have confidence, oh, I'm going to be good. I'm not going to be tempted. And we fall. We're human. This is why we need Jesus. But I think trying to keep ourselves out of those situations where it's just, you know, when we give Satan that, you know, that foothold in the door, he busts it down. And so it's tough.
Along with that, it's important to not try to create a sterile environment for your children, because they need to do exactly, they need to go through that process that you just walked through. They need to face temptation and know to walk away.
Yes.
Because if they've never faced it, it's not going to be beneficial long-term.
Exactly. That's so true. It's so true, because, you know, as much as we want to keep our kids in a bubble, that's only hindering them for being, you know, a thriving, independent adult one day.
So I recently went to the border in Eagle Pass. I mentioned this to you yesterday when we talked about organizing this conversation, and you said, I've got some questions. So I said, all right, we'll do them on the air. So now I'm turning the table. You are the host. You have questions, Reagan Long, for me, the visitor to Rio Grande River between Pedros Negros and Eagle Pass, Texas. Where do you start?
I mean, what did you see? You know, we get these, we get small clips, small glimpses, you know, depending upon what you're watching, mm-hmm. of what's really happening there. And my mind goes in two different places, in two different directions. My heart is pulled in two different ways. So what did you see with your own eyes there?
I saw people coming across the border legally, in what the federal government considers to be legal today, which isn't, as the Constitution lines out, legality. And in 2021 was the high watermark of that migration into the United States through what we're calling legal channels. In 2022, the illegals that we know of that swam the river is four times higher than the legal migrants who came in 2021. And 2022, the legal migrants are the same as they were last year. So we are continuing to see an acceleration of people coming across illegally. Reagan, I went to places where the coyotes swim across the river, walk across. They don't even swim. You just walk across. They carry a garbage bag with dry clothes. They get on this side in Texas. They take their wet clothes off. You can see that I have videos I can send to you of just clothes and junk that just lays there that everybody else walks over. There are some entrepreneurs in Mexico, though, because they said there's a kid, they think he's about 15. He comes across about once a week. He gathers up those clothes, puts them in bags, because our Border Patrol, our Texas National Guard, they don't touch them. They just leave them there. This kid bags them up, and they assume he takes them back and sells them. So that's the...
Oh, God, love him.
Yeah, no, and they said, hey, we don't mess with him because he's doing things for us. He's cleaning up our shores.
Yeah.
And when they catch the illegals who come across the river, they load them up, haul them on the other side, and basically say, better luck tomorrow. They told me about a lady that this year they know they've caught her 12 times.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I ask, because I know you're curious, everybody's curious, so the women all ask the same question. Did you see the rape trees? I'm convinced there are no rape trees in the United States. We don't know what happens on the Mexico side. I do know that the Texas National Guard folks who gave me a off-the-record tour said that it is rare that a woman comes across there that has not been raped multiple times. They don't know that it's not normal. It's that bad. Dead bodies surface every week, if not every day. And then they come across and then they scatter and try to just find a way. And I don't know what they think they're going to find. They've been so misled. The most troubling thing that I learned, Reagan, in being there, and we were there feeding the Texas National Guard. We were there just saying thank you. And then they took me on a tour, and I said, thank you. But they're not just showing up in groups of eight families trying to find a better life in the United States. There is an organized effort, because the day before I got there at Del Rio, which is 50 miles up the road from where I was, or up the river, I should say, from where I was in Eagle Pass, there was a group of 1,600, all from Argentina. No, excuse me, Venezuela, who had just shown up that day.
Oh my gosh.
You don't get 1,600 people just randomly show up from the same country at the same time. What they say they're seeing is organized groups of people, an acceleration of Russians, an acceleration of Chinese, an acceleration of Iranians in 2022 that was even alarming to the Texas National Guard. So what we are getting in terms of information from the border is about 80% accurate. The 20% that we're not being told is where the danger is. But what we're doing in bringing these people in under what they call legal migration, open borders, and giving them money, giving them an EBT card, giving them a phone, giving them transportation, including airfare, wherever they want to go, is something that every single American needs to stand up and say, what are we doing and when are we going to stop this? This is a matter of national security. And here's the moral of the story, Reagan, and why I think it's so dangerous. I am convinced these people are being trafficked. They're being trafficked to get drugs into this country. We've seen an acceleration of the fentanyl. We've seen acceleration of all the drugs that cause the problems that you and I talk about in terms of parenting that make it tougher. It is controlled by the cartel. I stood in front of Pedros Negros on the banks, and there were 12 young men up on what you could tell was a lookout. I'm sure they were standing there, paid by the drug cartel just to keep track of what's happening on New Mexico's, on the U.S. side of the border. I stood in front of them 150 yards. And when I got down, I kind of turned and waved. I did it in my TV recording. You can watch it. You can see them in the background. And they kind of gestured back like, yeah, we've been watching you. 8 days later, by the way, is the first time I got banned from Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp. And I know that it's directly tied because I'm onto something here that is trying to be the decay of the United States. And interestingly, this very day, my live across the pond, I do TV every morning on Beck.news. Andrew Henderson said they have details now in the UK where it is exactly happening exactly the same way in the UK. This is an intended effort to cause decay from within, create chaos, and bring drugs into our country.
You know, I absolutely agree. And it's been unsettling because I also have a couple of friends who have left the military. They were in the top 1% of our military. They left due to the vaccine mandates. But they have shared, you know, I don't know if you call it intel with me that is alarming. I just think everybody needs to know that if they really think our government is for us and wanting to help us and protect us, they're not. There is such an agenda, you know, one like you mentioned, and as a mother, it's terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying what's happening. And I really think it's going to take Jesus himself to rectify all of this. Never say never, never say it's too far gone, but I really feel like things are unraveling quickly.
As well as the clock. Reagan Long, we're going to do this more often. Yes. Founder of The Real Deal of Parenting, Trent Luce, Reagan Long, both reminding you, all roads do lead to a roll route.